We're going to learn Yuma Daf Samach Ches. We're going to start from the Mishnah, 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Zayin Omid Beis. Says the Mishnah, Boloi Eitzel Soi Par V'Soir Hanisrofin. And this is after he's already sent the goat to the Azazel, and now he's got the par, his bull, and the Soir, the goat that was designated to be Lashem Chatos, both of them have already been shechted. The blood has already been applied to the in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Heichal, on the Mizbeach Azov. The remains have been poured onto the base of the Mizbeach, the Yisoyit HaMizbeach HaChitzoin, and he's done what he has to do with the Soir HaMishtaleach. Then at some point, he comes to his Purim, Par V'Soir HaNisrofim. The literal translation of that is he comes to the bull and the goat, Hanisrofim, which are burnt. Obviously, they haven't been burnt yet. They're both waiting there to be taken care of. So what's he do? He goes. The reason they're called Purim Hanisrofim is because they're not going to be offered up on the Mizbeach as any other or most other korbanis are. Rather, they're going to be taken outside Yerushalayim and going to be burnt there. So what's he do? He comes to the Par V'Soir. Koron, he tears them open. V'hoitzies emurehen, and he takes out the innards, some of the parts inside. Nosnon b'megis, he puts them, immediately he puts them into a bowl, which is, you know, into a clay shoris. V'hektiron al gabe mizbeach, not yet, but much later on in the day, he's going to take this bowl of the emurim, of the Mizbeach, or of the Par V'Soir, and he's going to put it onto the Mizbeach, the big Mizbeach in the Azara. And then what does he do? Now you've got two carcasses, two animals that have not been cut up into pieces. They're just two whole animals. So kolon b'miklois, the kolon means to braid. He like takes the two animals and He braids them into a braid. That means he like puts them together. They're both dead. They're both whole. So he puts them intertwined into each other, and he hangs them that way on two poles that are being held by four people, four kohenim. Vayitzion lebeis asreifa, and the people who are carrying out these animals are going to then carry them out like this on these poles outside to the beis asreifa outside Yerushalayim. These people who are engaged, we'll learn about this more, but those who are engaged in burning these the par V'Soir, the Pasuk says, they become tomei, their clothes have to be toiveled. So at what point do their clothes have to be toiveled? Or at what point do they become tomei? The Tanakhama says, immediately upon leaving the walls of the Azara, they're already out, it's already called that they are taking out the animals and they are tomei, and their clothes have to be toiveled when they're finished. Reb Shimon says, Mishayotzis ha'ur berubon, only when the fire has already taken hold of most of the bull and the goat, whilst being burnt, only at that point the clothes of those engaged in this are tomei. The Pasuk itself clearly mentions only Hasayrif, somebody who burns the Oysom, this bull and the goat, is Yechabis Begodov. So according to Reb Shimon says Hasayrif means only in the process of burning. And that's why he says that the point in time when this person and his clothes become Tomei is only when it's being burnt, actually being burnt. And we're going to learn more about Reb Shimon's opinion later on Daf Samech Ches Amud Beis. The Chachomim, however, hold, they say that not. They say that even though it says Hasayrif, it means anybody engaged in the Oysom, the Pasuk says, anyone who's engaged in this bull and the goat, in the process of taking it to be burned, is also included in this bracket, and as soon as they leave the Azara, these people become Tomei. And that's how Rashi, it's a big discussion in the Achronim and Zvachim, but the Rashi on Daf Samech Ches Amud Beis learns this way. Says the Gemara. And the Gemara is now taking us back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that after the Kohen Gadol took out the Emurim, the parts of the insides of the bull and the goat that was going to be burnt later on in the day onto the Mizbeach. But it says, Nosnon b'megis, he put them into a bowl, v'hiktiron al gabe ha-mizbeach. The basic reading of the Mishnah doesn't say it's going to be burnt on the Mizbeach later. It seems it's being done now. And there's a big issue with that, because it's clearly not being done now. And the Gemara is asking that. V'hiktiron, sol kodaitoch, can you really entertain the idea that he's going to burn it now? It's not. It's very clear. We're going to learn later on. We're going to learn that he's only going to burn these emurim much later when he's putting on the gold clothes for the last time. At this point, the Kohen Gadol still has the white clothes on, and he's still going to change into gold clothes, do what he has to do, change into white clothes again, do what he has to do, and then change into the gold clothes again, and then he's going to burn these emurim. He's not burning them now. V'ktiron sol kodaitoch, answers the Gemara, la'ema, don't read in the Mishnah v'hiktiron, which means and he burns them, which would mean he burns them straight away. That means he puts it into the bowl, takes the bowl to the top of the Mizbeach, and chucks the emurim onto the Mizbeach. No, l'haktiron al gabe Mizbeach. It means put them into the bowl in order to put them onto the Mizbeach at a later stage. Continues the Gemara, that the Mishnah says that he takes the bull and the goat, and kol on b'miklois, he brides them together, intertwines them into each other, and they get taken out this way to outside Yerushalayim. Omer b'yichnon kamin kalia, that the way they're intertwined is similar to a braid, and that's why the Mishnah uses this term, kol on b'miklois. Tana, loy hoya menatchon nituach bosor oila. Now the question is, these animals, the bull and the goat, is going to be taken to outside Yerushalayim, it has to be burnt. The question is, in what state are they going to be burnt? Are they going to be burnt whole, as they are? Are they going to be skinned? Are they going to be cut up into limbs, parts, a number of parts, as a regular korban oila, for example? They skin the animal. After the animal's been skinned, the animal gets cut into the nesochim, into different limbs, different parts, and one knows exactly what the parts are, but we're not discussing them now, and then they get burnt that way. Well, what's the halacha with the parva soira shel yom kippurim? How do they get burnt outside Yerushalayim? So it says here that loy hoya menatcho nituach bosor oilo. The parva soira, they were cut up into pieces, but not like the oilo. Which means, unlike the oilo that the animal was first skinned, over here the animal was not skinned, rather it was kept, the animal, the flesh was in the skin, but it was cut up in the same way that the oilo parts used to be cut up. Elo, oir al gabi basar, the skin is still on the flesh, and that's how they would cut it up and burn the parva soira shel yom kippurim. Asks the Gemara, minoha nimili, what would be the source for that? D'tanya, we learned in a braisa. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says as follows, Nemar Kan, it says over here in Vayikra Perek Tezayin, Parashas Acharemos, in the parasha of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, it says in the Pasuk that Ve'is parachatos ve'isoyer achatos ashohuvo es domam l'chapir b'kodesh, yoytzi el michutz l'machane, ve'sorfu bo'esh es oiroisom, ve'es besorom, ve'es pirushom. Which means that they would burn outside the camps, outside Yerushalayim, they would burn the skin, that's the oir, ves besorom, and the flesh, ves pirushom, and the dung, the excrement, that would also be burnt. So it mentions explicitly the oir, the basar, and the pirush. V'nemar lalon, in a different parasha altogether, in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, there we have a parasha called Par Kohen Moshiach. And as we've mentioned a number of times, it's not worth going into the details of that now. We're going to learn about it extensively when we learn Seder Kochim. But there is a certain korban which a Kohen Gadol would have to bring, or a Kohen that was anointed, a par, a bull, which is Kohen Moshiach. For whatever reason he has to bring, there is a concept of such a korban. What does it say regarding that korban called the par Kohen Moshiach? It there mentions also Ves Oyer HaPar, the skin of the bull, ve'es kol basari, all its flesh, al roishe ve'al krov ve'kirboi, meaning, and there it specifies also the head, the legs, the feet, the kirboy and the insides, upirshoy, and again, the dung, the excrement is also mentioned there. So we have something in common, it's a type of gzeira shava. We have something in common between the power of a soil shalem akipurim and the power kayin moshiach. Which means you asked a question, how would you know that the way that the power of a soil shalem akipurim was burnt was that they were cut into limbs, but with the skin? The answer is, we learn it from power kayin moshiach. And all we've got to now understand and learn is regarding Parakoyin Mashiach, how do we see from there that they were the limbs were separated, were put onto the Mizbeach separately, or they were burnt separately, the Parakoyin Mashiach was not put on the Mizbeach. It's also from the Nisrofim, and over there we're going to learn that it was cut into pieces, but the skin was left on. Ma'alahalon, in the same way, and we're not going to discuss it yet, we're going to discuss it in a few lines, but in the same way as over there with the parakoyin moshiach, al yedei nituach, it was burnt with cutting up the animal, v'loy al yedei hefshet, but it was not skinned before, afkan, so too, the paravasoyer shelei mekipurim, al yedei nituach, v'loy al yedei hefshet, it was cut into pieces, but not skinned first. V'hosom minolon, and over there with the parakoyin moshiach, how do you know that this was the case, that it was cut into pieces but not skinned? The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says regarding the Parakoyin Mashiach in Vayikra Perek Dalet. Ves Oyer Hapor, we mentioned this part of the Pasuk before. Ves Oyer Hapor, the skin. Ves Kol Basoroi, all its flesh. Al Roshoi, its head. Val Krov, its feet. Kirboi, its insides. Upirshoi, with the dung inside it. And what does it say immediately after that? The next pasuk, that was pasuk Yud Aleph and pasuk Yud Beis. What does it say? V'hoitzies kol hapor el mechutz lamachne. They would take the entire bull outside the camps, outside Yerushalayim, el mokim toyer, to a toyer place, el shefech hadeshen, to the place where the ashes were poured. We're going to learn about that later on. V'soraf oisoy, they would burn it, al eitzim ba'esh, on wood, on the fire, al shefech hadeshen yisorif. So that's what it says there in the parasha of Parakoyin Moshiach in Vayikra Perek Dalet, Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. So the Braisa says that because it mentions all the parts of the animal, of that bull, it says V'kirboy U'pirshoy, and it's supposed to, the Gemara means to say the whole pasuk, and then the first word of the next pasuk, the pasuk Yud Beis, is V'hoitzi es kol hapor. So what do we learn from there? Since all the parts of the animal are mentioned together, es hapor, es oyer hapor, the skin, ves kol basori, al roisha, al krov, kirboy, upirshoy, it's mentioned as a whole, and then it says vahoitzi es kol hapor, and you take out the whole power, the whole bull outside. What do we learn from there? Melamed shemoitzioi, that when you remove it from where it was shechted to take it out of Yerushalayim, you were moitzioi sholim, it was taken out whole. Yochel, the Braisa continues, Yochel is sarfenu sholim. You may think that you actually burn it when it's whole. Answer is no. Ne'mar kan, it says here in the parasha of Parakoyin Mashiach, it mentions Roishoy Ukrov. It explicitly singles out the head and the feet. Ne'mar la'alon, and in another parasha, in the parasha of the Korban Oila, which is elsewhere in Sefer Vayikra, in Perik Aleph, it says there, Roish Ukraim, the Pasuk explicitly mentions V'orchu b'nei Aaron akeanim eis hanesochim es haroish v'es hapoder aloitzim, etc. V'akere v'akroayim irchatz b'mayim, etc. So in that regular korban oila, which is offered up on the Mizbeach in the Azara, not outside, it singles out the Roish and the Kroayim, as in the parasha of Kohen Mashiach it's singled out. So we're going to learn Gzeira Shava from Parakoyin Mashiach from oila. Ma'al ha'alon, in the same way as ba'oila, it says explicitly al yedei nituach, that you cut up the animal, as the Pasuk says, v'orchu b'nei Aaron akeyanim eis ha'nesochim. Nesochim means the pieces, the limbs are cut up, it's not whole. Afkan, so too, by Parakoyin Mashiach, al yedei nituach, it's also the animal is cut up. So ask the Gemara, ima la'alon, if you're going to compare Parakoyin Mashiach to oila, and by oila it's al yedei hefshet, it's explicit in the psukim that you would skin the animal first. Afkan, so too, by Parakoyin Mashiach, al yedei hefshet, also you skin the animal. Talmud leima, no. Because it says in the Pasuk, v'kirboy ufirshoy, In that pasuk Yud Aleph in Vayikra Perek Dalet in the parasha of Parakoyin Mashiach, it says Ves Oyer Hapor Ves Kol Basori, referring to the skin and the flesh. Al Roishay Val Krov Ukirboy Upirshay. It speaks about the innards of the animal, the Kirboy Upirshay, and the dung inside it. So the Gemara says, what do we learn from Uvakirboy Upirshay? That's the end of the Braisa. The Braisa says, from those words, Vakiraboy Upirshay, you learn the animal wasn't skinned. What does that mean? My Talmudah, where do you see in those two words that the animal was not skinned regarding the Parakoyin Mashiach? Omer of Papa. Kashem Shepirshay Bakirboy, in the same way as they didn't remove the dung from the intestines before putting it onto the Mizbeach, that would have been extremely inappropriate. Not before putting it into the Mizbeach. We're talking about the Parakoyin Mashiach. Before burning it in a Mokim Toyer outside Yerushalayim, they didn't remove the dung from the intestines before burning it. That would have been highly inappropriate. Kach Basori Boiroi, so too when burning the skin and the flesh, they would keep the skin inside the flesh in the same way as the excrement was kept inside the animal, so too the skin, the flesh was kept inside the skin, the animal was not skinned. So we see that we learn that from the Parakoyin Mashiach that it wasn't skinned. The Parakoyin Mashiach, you learn from the Oiloi, was cut up into pieces. And then we have the Gzeira Shava, you learn Paravasoir Shlema Kippurim from the Parakoyin Mashiach that it's got the same halachas, that it was cut into pieces but not skinned. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara is taking us to the final statement in the Mishnah where it says, Ome'emosai metamin begodim, at what point do the Peter Kunta Tanakama, who says that the concept of the Tumah and the person being Tomei and his clothes being Tomei, at what point does that happen? The Tanakama says it's as soon as he leaves the Azara. Reb Shimon says no. Reb Shimon says that the Pasuk says that only Hasoyreif, only the person who's burning it, and therefore the Tumah is only at the time when the fire has taken grasp of most of the power of a soyer. Says the Gemara Tonu Rabbonon, and we learn this is a Pasuk now, again in the Parashas, Achreimois Vayikro Tezayin, Pasuk Chavzayin. The Pasuk says as follows, Veis Parachatos, Veis Soyer Achatos, Ashehuvo as Domam Lechaper Bakoidesh, Yoitzi El Michutz Lamachane, you take the power of a soyer outside the camps, Vesorfu Boesh, and you burn them with fire, Es Oirosom, Ves Besorom, Ves Pirosom. So the Gemara, the Braisa says, Yoitzi El Michutz Lamachane, Vesorfu. And where do you take, which camps do you take them out of? So let's discuss it, says the Gemara. Lahalon, later on, in a different parasha, it's not really later, but in a different parasha in Sefer Vayikra, we learn that there's a concept called the Parakoyin Mashiach that we've already learned about, and there's other korbonis, which are there's a par ha'eda. Again, we're not discussing those korbonis. What does it say there? It says, Atonoisun lohem shalosh machanois. We're going to learn that from other sources, in Psukim, that the par ha'edo and the par kohen Moshiach, they are burnt outside three camps. Not only do they have to be taken out of Machne Kehuna, which is the Azara, not only Machne Leviah, which is the Harabais, but even the Machne Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim. It's taken outside Yerushalayim. And those korbonis, those bulls, the par ha'edah and the par kohen Mashiach, they are burnt outside all three machanis. And we take it for granted, and there are sources for this that Rashi discusses here, that all the animals that are nisrofin outside are nisrofin, are all compared with each other, we learn one from the other, they are all burnt outside three machanis. And the question is, what does it say in the pasuk? It says, Yoitzi al michutz lamachane. Machane is a single tent. You take it out of one camp, which would be the machane shchino, outside the Azora. Well, you know that it doesn't get burnt outside the machane Azora. It says, Yoitzi al michutz lamachane. You take it out of the one camp. That's where you're going to burn it? No. You know from the other bulls that we're going to soon see the sources, but it's taken out of three camps. And you know that all the Nisrofim Bachutz have the same halachas. They're burnt outside the three camps. Why does the Pasuk here regarding the Parvasor Shlema Kippurim say that you take it out of one camp? That's what the Brice is asking. Answers the Gemara, Leimar l'cho, to teach you that kivun sheyotza chutz l'machane achas metamin begodim. Of course we know that to burn this bull, the bull and the goat, is outside three machanos. But to tell us that yotzi al mechutz l'machane, as soon as you've removed it from just one camp, from the Azara, it's already called, you're on the way, you're already out. Once you're out, it's already tom. The person carrying it out and his clothes are tommy. And this is the source when the Tanakhama says that Me'emosai Metamin Begodim Mishe Yetzu Chutz L'Choymas Ha'Azora. What's the source of that? From the fact that the Pasuk says Yetzi El Mechutz L'Machane, you take it out of a single camp, meaning the Machne Shechina, the Azora, and it can't mean you burn it there because you burn it outside three camps. It must be to teach us this halacha of the Tanakhama. Now the Gemara is asking, V'hosam minolon, and what's the source that with the other bulls, for example, the Parakoi in Mashiach, the Para'edah, where do you learn, what's the source that they are burnt outside all three camps? Says the Gemara, the Tanya we learnt in Abraisa, that the Pasuk says, again, regarding the Parakoi in Mashiach, it says there, V'hoitzi es kol hapor, it says, Ves oirapor, ves kol basori al roishoi, Valkro v'kirboy upirshoy v'hoitzi es kol apor el michutz l'machane el mokim toir. And so it says there v'hoitzi es kol apor el michutz l'machane. You take it out of a camp. That's what it says by the parakoy in Mashiach. And what does that mean? Chutz l'sholish machnis. You take it out of three camps. The Gemara says why? The pasuk says v'hoitzi that you take it out v'hoitzi es kol apor el michutz l'machane. It mentions one camp. Why do you assume it means three camps? Maybe the pasuk means you just burn it outside the machne shechina, outside the azara. Where do you see there that you take it out of three camps? Says the Braisa, Kushu Oimer, the par ha'edo. Let's go to the par ha'edo. In Vayikra Perek Dalet, later on in Perek Dalet, in Pasuk Chof Aleph, it says there, V'hoitzias Hapor, which is a different korban. It's called Par Ha'edah, which again, we're not discussing the nature of that korban. But it was a bull, and you take it out, El Michutz L'machane, you take it out of the camp, V'soraf Ois, and you burn it, Kasher Soraf Es Hapar HaRishoin, Chatos HaKolhu, you burn it the same place that the previously mentioned bull, referring to the Parakoin Mashiach, is burnt. So if you're telling me in the Pasuk that you burn the Par Ha'edah in the same place as you burn the Parakoin Mashiach, then why in the Pasuk of Par Ha'edah does it have to say El Michutz L'Machane? I know it's El Michutz L'Machane because it already says in Pasuk Yud Beis by the Parakoin Mashiach, it says that V'hoitzi es kol hapor El Michutz L'Machane. She'ein Talmud Loimar, it doesn't need to say it. Al Mechutz L'machane, she'ein Talmud Loimar. She'hari Kvar Nema, it already says, V'soraf Oisei Kasha Soraf Es HaPar HaRishoin. U'ma Talmud Loimar El Mechutz L'machane. Why does it say, take it out of the camp? The answer is, L'tein Loimachne Shnia. To tell us that you do take it to the same place as you burn the Parakoin Mashiach, but don't learn what it says at Parakoin Mashiach, El Michutz L'machane, at face value, it's just one. No, it says again in Pasuk Chof Aleph that V'hoitzi es hapor El Michutz L'machane, between the two, it says twice. Besides for it saying that they get burnt at the same place, it says twice El Michutz L'machane, to tell us that it gets burnt outside a second machane. Not only Machane Shechina, which is the Azara, even Machane Leviah, which is the Harabais. Okay. But we still don't know that you have to take it even outside the Machne Yisrael, even outside Yerushalayim. So Kushu Oimer, when it says, in a completely different place, non-related, what does it say? It says that you take the ashes, there was a mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, and then after they would take a little bit of the Trumas Hadeshen off the Mizbeach and put it next to the Mizbeach, they would take the rest of the ashes outside of Yerushalayim. What does it say there? It says, "Ufoshat es begodov, velovash begodim achirim, v'hoitzi es hadeshen el michutz l'machane el mokim toyer." You take it outside the camp to a pure place. So there it says, "Michutz l'machane bedeshen she'ein Talmud loymar shehari kvar nemar el shefech hadeshen." We already says there's another point where it says in the parasha of Par Kohen Moshiach. What does it say there? Besides for saying v'hoitzias kol haporel michutz lamachane el mokim toyer, it adds another three words, el shefech hadeshen, to the place where the ashes were taken out to. So, which means that as soon as you know where the ashes are taken, as soon as you know either where the ashes are taken out, or you know where the parakoyin Mashiach is taken out to, it's the same place. So we know that the parakoyin Mashiach is taken out, for example, out of two camps. How do we know that? As we said, that the parakoyin Mashiach and the par ha'edo, they are burnt in the same place, as it says explicitly by the par ha'edo that it's burnt in the same place as the parakoyin Mashiach. And it says between them twice, El Michutz LaMachne, it's out of two camps. So once we know that the Parakoyin Mashiach is burnt outside two camps, and in the parasha of Parakoyin Mashiach it says it's burnt where the ashes are put, why does the Torah have to tell us when in the parasha of where the ashes are put, El Michutz LaMachne, outside the camp? That's not necessary. So the answer is, Ten Loi Machne Shlishis, to tell us that there's a third camp that it goes out to. And once you have between these three, Parakoyin Mashiach, Par Ha'edo, and the parasha of taking the ashes out, it mentions three, even though they're all in the same place, it's explicit, but it mentions three times El Mechutz LaMachane to say that all three are apply outside three camps. The Parakoyin Mashiach is burnt outside Yerushalayim, the Par Ha'edo is burnt outside Yerushalayim, and the ashes are placed outside Yerushalayim. And that's the source that Parakoyin Mashiach is burnt outside three machnos, and therefore we take it for granted from places where Rashi mentions elsewhere that the par v'soil shel Yom HaKippurim are also burnt outside Yerushalayim, in which case the question came back, why then in the parasha of par v'soil shel Yom HaKippurim does it say in single term Yotziel Mechutz LaMachane? It must be to tell us that the people carrying the bull and the goat, as soon as they leave the first machne, the machne shchino, the azara, they already tomei, and that's the source for the Tanakama that says me'emosai mitamim begodim mishayetzu chutz lechoimas ho azara. Continues the Gemara, v'Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says in the Mishnah that the person who only becomes tomei when at the point in time when the fire has grasped hold of the power of a sawyer, most of the power, most of the sawyer, and not when it leaves the Azara. What they go, how's Reb Shimon, what's he going to do with the fact that it mentions in single term in the parasha of Par V'Soyer Shleim HaKippurim, it mentions that you take it out of one machane? How would Reb Shimon explain that? Hai michutz lamachane mai ovidle, what's he going to do with that? Answers the Gemara, miboyilele look at Tanya, there's another brisa that uses this word. Reb Lezi Yomer, Ne'emar kan, it says here regarding the par v'soyer shleim HaKippurim michutz lamachane, that when you take out to burn it, you take it out of one machane. Well, we know it doesn't mean one machane, it means three machanes, but it uses the term michutz lamachane. Ne'emar la'alon, and later on in the parasha of Pora Adumo, it says there, Unasatem oiso el elozar koin v'hoitzi oiso el michutz lamachane, that the Pora Adumo is burnt outside, it's shechted, unlike the other korbanos, it's even shechted outside the michutz lamachane. Ma kan, in the same way as here, in the par v'soyer shleim HaKippurim, as we've determined that it gets burnt chutz l'sholish machnos, outside three machnos, af lahalon, so too regarding the par adumo, it gets shechted chutz l'gimel machnos. Uma lahalon, and in the same way as the par adumo is shechted in the mizrach, in the east of Yerushalayim, because it says that in the Pasuk explicitly, El Noichach Pnei Oyel Moed. So since he's facing the Oyel Moed, it must be that he is that facing Meiriv, it must be he's on the Mizrach side of Yerushalayim. Afkan, so too, the Par V'Soyer Shleim HaKippurim, where are they burnt? They are burnt Mizracho Shel Yerushalayim, on the east of Yerushalayim. And now the Gemara is asking, V'Rabbonon, according to the opinion of the Rabbonon, who they don't have the word Michutz LaMachane of Par V'Soyer Shleim HaKippurim available to learn from Pora Adumo that the place that it gets, that the Par V'Soyer Shleim HaKippurim get burnt is on the Mizrach, on the east side of Yerushalayim, because they use Michutz LaMachane to say that the person becomes Tomei when leaving the Azara. So according to the Rabbonon, Heiches Soriflu, where does this Par V'Soyer Shleim HaKippurim, at what side of Yerushalayim? It's outside Yerushalayim. We know that. It's outside the three camps. But which position, where is it done? And the same question, really, we could ask that according to the Rabbonon, that you don't have the Gzeira Shova from Por Adumo to Paravisoy Shleim HaKippurim, then where do we learn that the Por Adumo has to be shechted outside Yerushalayim? That's one of the things we learned as well. But that's not a discussion for here. The Achrenim here and in Zvachim discuss that. But since we're focused on the Paravisoy Shleim HaKippurim, according to the Rabbonon, where do we know which side of Yerushalayim, or which side outside Yerushalayim, but which side do they burn it? Heichos oriflu? Answers the Gemara, Kedetanya, a Braisa. The Braisa says, Heichon nisrofin, where does it get burnt? Litzfoino shel Yerushalayim. It's actually done on the tzofin, on the north of Yerushalayim, because it's called a chatos. It's a parav asoy shleim akipurim ar chatos, and all maisa chatos is done b'tzofin, on the north. So you're taking it to burn it outside Yerushalayim, burn it on the north of Yerushalayim, and v'chutz l'sholish machnis, as we've seen before, that everybody agrees that the parav asoy shleim akipurim gets burnt outside Yerushalayim, which is outside the three camps. Rabbi Yossi says, and it seems that he's introducing something that the Tanakhama didn't hold of, that when you burn it outside Yerushalayim, a beis hadeshen nisrofim. The place has to be called a beis hadeshen, which means that before you burn the parav asoy shleim HaKippurim there, it must be that you've placed some ashes from the Mizbeach, from the big Mizbeach, in the Azara, you've placed some of the ashes there first, and it would seem that the Tanakhama don't have this prerequisite, don't have this condition. Rabbi Yossi says you have to first put some ashes of the Mizbeach there, and then you can burn the parav asoy shleim HaKippurim in that place. Omar Rava. Rava said, Man tana de paligolei de Rabbi Yossi. It seems here that the Tanakhama don't make this condition. Rabbi Yossi says, Abeis hadeshen nisrofin, that you have to first put some ashes of the Mizbeach there. Who would the Tanakhama be who say that you don't need to do that? Says the Gemara. Says Rava, it seems, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who, it's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in the following braisa. The Tanya we learnt in the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says, V'hoitzi esapor el mechutz lamachane el mochim tohir el shefech hadeshin. Yisorif. It gets burnt, and this is talking about the parakoyin Moshiach, which is burnt, which we learn that the place that the paravasoy shleim HaKippurim is burnt is the same place as the parakoyin Moshiach, and there it says that it's burnt el shefech hadeshin. What does it mean, shefech hadeshin? Sheyehei l'shom deshin. That there should first be some ashes there. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no. What does it mean, el shefech hadeshen, shehei merkoy moy meshupach? It means that it's got to be a place which one can pour something there, which means it's slanty, slopey area. That's all the word that shefech hadeshen means, shehei merkoy moy meshupach, that the area is slanted. Omar Lei Abaya. Abaya argued with Rava, and Abaya said, no. Vadilma, it could be, everybody agrees that when it says in the Pasuk, El Shefech Hadeshen, it means that you put it in the place where there's been some ashes have been placed there. That would be the basic reading of Shefech Hadeshen. What they're arguing about in the Braisa, they're just arguing if besides for needing ashes there, it also has to be a place that's worthy, that's fit to be poured on, which means that it's a bit sloping. And that's the whole machlekas. V'dilma b'mekoyim shupachu de pligi. They're only arguing if it also has to be a slanted area. But everybody agrees that you would put some deshen there. And according to Abaya, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would not be one that would be the opinion that is arguing with Rabbi Yossi. That means in the event that indeed the Tanakhama arguing with Rabbi Yossi and they say that you don't need any ashes there, Abaya says there's no reason to believe that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov actually holds that way. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon. We learnt in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in the parasha of Paravasor Shleim HaKippurim, V'hasoyreif oisom, anyone who's burning them, the Paravasor Shleim HaKippurim, the oisom means that it's the soyreif, whatever's being done to them, the burning, is we're talking only about what's being done, oisom, with and to the actual bull and the goat. The asoyreif is, so the Braisa says, the asoyreif is metame begodim. Only the one that's burning the parav asoyer is actually metame begodim. V'loy hametzis esa'ur, but not the person that ignites the fire. V'loy hamasader esamarocha, not the one that arranged the woods and the fireplace before burning the parav asoyer. that those they are not tummy. And Rashi says here that this is following the opinion of Reb Shimon in the Mishnah. Reb Shimon said, "Mishayotzis ha'ur b'rubon," which means that the person only becomes tummy when the fire actually is burning the paravasoyer. So now it's the Braisa here is discussing that Reb Shimon, who says that it's only at the point of burning that the person's clothes become tummy. What's considered the burning? Rashi obviously learned that according to the Tanakhama in the Mishnah that says that the person becomes tummy from leaving as soon as he leaves the walls of the Azora, as we've learned previously, that according to that opinion, what it says here may not necessarily be accurate. That's how Rashi says. That means Rashi says this price is following Reb Shimon. But there are the Achreinim discuss this at length. The Achreinim in Zvachim Daf Kuvav. So what else is saying the Braisa? Va'ezehu ha-soyrif, what's called the soyrif? That according to Reb Shimon, as we said, that the Pasuk says that the one who's burning the power of a soyer is the one that becomes tomei and his clothes become tomei, not the one that's igniting the fire or arranging the wood. Zeha mesayea b'shas reifa. It's anyone who is actually helping the actual burning process, which primarily means anybody who is churning over the power of a soyer itself. Once it's in the fire, anybody that's engaged in speeding up and helping the actual animals burn, then they are the ones that become tummy. And some say that anyone who's actually, once they're actually burning and you add on wood or you churn the coals and the wood round, that might also be included, but it's talking about somebody who's mesayeh b'shas sreifa. Whilst the paravasar is being burnt, anyone who's helping with that. But and to, as the Braisa said, excluding the one that actually just lit the fire and excluding the one who prepared the fireplace. Yochel af mishenasu efer. What happens once the bull and the goat, the paravasar, have already turned into ashes, then and the person is continuing to turn them over that they should burn even more? Is it also metamin begodim? Talmud lo imano, it says oisom. It's only a soyrif oisom. Oisom means par vasoyr. When they lose their status of par vasoyr, namely, once it's already ashes, nobody would call these ashes a bull or a goat. At that point, it's not anymore metami. Oisom metamin begodim. Only those who are engaged in burning oisom, them, the par vasoyr. Velo mishenasu efer metamin begodim. But once it's already ashes, they are not metami begodim. That was the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Oimer, he says no. He says it doesn't even have to be ashes. It's enough if it's not anymore considered a bull. Hapor matami, that only whilst it still has the form of a bull, that means there's still some flesh on it and you can still see that this was a bull or a goat, then it's matami. However, nitei chabosar, in the event that the meat has become decomposed, is already, the meat's gone, the meat's been burnt up, then at that point, eino metami begodim, even though it's not yet ashes. It could be it's not yet ashes, it's just become decomposed from the burning, it's already lost its status of paravasoyer, and it's no longer metami. Mai benayu, what would be the difference, the halachic point of the difference between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon ben Elazar? Ikke benayu, teshav yecharucha, when you have a burnt up lump of this bull, where it's not yet ashes, but it's clearly that this charucha is really the nitach, it's been decomposed, there's no meat on it anymore. You cannot determine that this is a bull or a goat anymore. This is called charucha, a burnt lump. At that point, then according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, it will no longer be metami begodim. According to Tanakhama, it will still be begodim because it's not yet ashes. Continues the next Mishnah. Omru loy lekoyin gadol. Now this point, because we know that the Kohen Gadol, after he sent away the goat to the Azazel, at that point he was not really allowed to do any more melachos, any more avoidos. He wasn't allowed to start any more avoidos. Rashi says here, Eino Rishoy lehaschil ba'avoida acheres. He cannot start anything new, and he certainly cannot do the Kriyas HaTorah. We're going to learn about that, but in the next Perek, in the next Mishnah. But he cannot do the new Avoidos, and he cannot start the Kriyas HaTorah, reading of the Torah, before the goat that was being sent to the Azazel had reached the Midbar, the desert, where the cliff, where the Azazel was going to be done. So, there's a big discussion here whether what we just learned from the Mishnah and the Samach Zayin Amud Beis at the bottom, that everything that was done here, that the Kohen Gadol would remove the insides of the Parvasoir and put it into a bowl, he would then send out the animal, whether could all that be done before this Mishnah, or is it post what it says in this Mishnah, is a discussion in the Mefarshim. But either way, the Mishnah says here that in order to be able to continue the next Avodos, we have to know that the goat has reached the Midbar, the desert of the Azazel. Omru lo l'Kohen Gadol, whoever it was, will soon see, but they told the Kohen Gadol, Higia Soir l'Midbar, that the goat has reached the Midbar, the desert of the Azazel. The real truth is that Rashi says, it's going to be apparent later in Rashi, that when it says here, l'Midbar, it's not good enough that it came just to the desert of the Azazel, where the Azazel was. And the truth is, the desert of the Azazel was 3 mil outside Yerushalayim. The Azazel itself, the cliff itself, was 10, according to most opinions we've learned earlier on, was 10 mil away from Yerushalayim, which was another 7 mil within that Midbar. But many Rashi says that when it says here, Higia Soir la Midbar, it means that the Soir has already reached, not only it's reached the Midbar, it's reached the cliff. Uminayin hoyu yoidim, how would they know that the Soir has already reached the Midbar? They couldn't go there, it was miles away. They sent somebody there, but how would that message get back to the Kohen Gadol that indeed the Soir has already reached its destination? Minayno yoidim shigia Soir l'midbar, says the Mishnah, dirkois hoyu oisim, they would designate watchmen, and they would be at places at intervals spread out in a way that they could see each other, they could make some form of eye contact, not real eye contact, they could see each other, umanifin besudrin, and they would wave flags. V'yoidim shigia Soir l'midbar, there would be a watchman by the Midbar, which is either the entrance way into the Midbar, 3 mil from Yerushalayim, or it's actually at the cliff itself, which is 10 mil from Yerushalayim. We saw according to Reb Meir it was 12 mil, but Reb Elazar, Reb Yosi, they said it was 10 mil, and from wherever they had to be, the Midbar, until all the way back to Yerushalayim, there would be at intervals where they could see each other, there would be watchmen, and as soon as they arrived, the watchman closest to this place would wave his flag, and that would be a message to the person seeing him, he would wave his flag all the way back, and they would be seen by the person closest to Yerushalayim, who would then convey the message to the Kohen Gadol. Omar Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I don't need all these watchmen. Valo simen gadol hayolehem. There was another way of knowing when it could be assumed that the Soir had reached the destination, because Yerushalayim v'ad beis chidudoi, it's Rabbi Yehuda holds that you don't need to, that the Kohen Gadol could carry on doing his avoda when it reached just the Midbar, a place called Beis Chidudoi, the area where the cliff was positioned, which means the Midbar, the desert where the cliff was, which was Shloisha Milin, it was just 3 mil from Yerushalayim. The question we mentioned before was whether the Tanakhama agrees with this. When the Tanakhama says Le Midbar, does it mean, like Rabbi Yehuda says, just arriving at the Midbar at the desert, which is 3 mil from Yerushalayim? Or, as Rashi says, the Tanakhama says that he has to arrive at the cliff itself. Rabbi Yehuda clearly says that Beis Chidudo, it's enough that he arrives at in the desert where this cliff is. And how far is that desert? Shloisha Milin, it's 3 mil away from Yerushalayim. So Hoilchin Mil, you'll remember from a previous Gemara that the Chashuvim, the important people of Yerushalayim, would accompany the person who is taking this goat to the Azazel, would accompany him 1 mil till the first sukkah, till the hut. They would go to that hut, v'chozrin mil, and then they would come back to Yerushalayim, and that's already 2 mils. The amount of time it takes, 2 mil. That means by the time they got back to Yerushalayim, it can be assumed that the person taking the goat has also done another mil towards the Azazel. V'shoyin k'day mil, they would wait an estimated time that it takes to walk a mil. There's a discussion whether they had somehow some clock, a sundial they could work out how long that takes, or whether they got this person to walk all the way around Harabais, which was this 500 amis on each side, which is a mil, 2,000 amis. Either way, they would wait another time it takes to walk a mil. V'yoidim, and then they would know, she'igia soil lamidbar, that then they would know that the Azazel has reached the 3 mil, it's reached the midbar. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's enough. And then you wouldn't need these watchmen. According to the Tanakama, they would have to wait either. It means either they would, the Tanakama held there were these watchmen, and as we said, Rashi says that the Tanakama says you have to hold, you have to wait till the soil reaches the midbar of the, reaches the cliff itself. And now we've got another few lines in the Mishnah, which it's a discussion exactly how to learn it. The Bach and the Vilna Gaon takes it out altogether, and the Bach says it's not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. But either way, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Valoy Simon Achir Hoyolem, he argues and says, I've got even another sign to say, to know when the goat had reached its destination, and then the Kohen Gadol could know that he can carry on the day's work. Because Loshen Shel Zohiris, they would have this strip of red wool, Hoyu Koshur Al Pischei Shel Heichal, that was tied to the entranceway of the Heichal. We've learnt about this previously. Ukashi Gia Soil Midbar, when the soil reached the Midbar, Hoyu Haloshen Melbin, then this piece of wool, this strip of wool, would become from red to white, and then they would know that the goat has reached its destination. Shenemar, Imyuchataichem Kashonim, if your sins are likened to red, then Kasheli Galbinu, then in the merit of this Avoida of the Azazel, it would actually become whitened like snow. And there's a lot of discussion here. Exactly whether why the Tanakhama didn't rely on this, why they needed the watchman. Could you rely on this? We've seen previously that at some times that this strip of wool would become whitened even before. There's a discussion here in the Mefarshim. Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya. Abaya says that from Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that Rabbi Yehuda says that it's sufficient to reach Beis Chidudoi, which is the entrance into the desert where the Azazel was, Shloisha Milim, Beis Chidudoi Bamidbor Kaima. You see clearly that since Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough to come to Beis Chidudoi, it must be that Beis Chidudoi is the beginning, which is the name of a place, it's the beginning of the Midbar, it's the beginning of the desert, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to reach the desert. And the Gemara is saying, what Abaye is trying to impress on us, and the Gemara in our version says, the Kosova Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Kivan Shegia Soyer Lamidbor, Nasis Mitzvosoy, that as soon as the Soyer has reached the Midbor, it's already considered that enough of the Mitzvah has been done that the Kohen Gadol could now continue, the Klal Yisrael could be atoned already, and we've discussed this earlier, and it could, the Kohen Gadol could continue doing the Avodah. And according to Rashi, we understand that it says the Kosova Rabbi Yehuda, because according to the Chachomim, Rashi understands that the goat has to get all the way to the cliff, not just to the Beis Chidudoi. The Vilna Gaon takes out these three words, the Kosova Rabbi Yehuda, and it seems, if according to that, that everybody would agree it's enough just to reach the Midbar. And when it says at the beginning of the Mishnah that according to the Chachomim, Higia Soil LaMidbar, they agree to Rabbi Yehuda that it's enough to just reach the Midbar. And therefore everybody says, according to that version of the Gaon, everybody, if you don't hold like Rashi, everybody will agree that it's enough for it to reach the Midbar. The whole discussion was, how did they know? Was it by having watchmen? Or did they just estimate it, as Rabbi Yossi says, that it was the people who were, these important people from Yerushalayim were going to take him, accompany him 1 mil, come back a mil, and estimate another mil of time, and that would be enough, and you wouldn't need the watchman. That's how they would learn this Gemara. And the Mitzvah Hashem in the next shir, we're going to start the next perek. Hadron aloch shnei seirei, b'siyata d'shmaya, we've finished learning perek shnei seirei. The Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to do chazor on perek shnei seirei, and in the next shir, we're going to learn perek boloi koyin gadol.